I'm Indy Todd. Welcome to The Point. Later in the hour, we discuss the impacts of substance use on the developing brain and ways to keep adolescents safe, healthy, and substance-free. But first, we discuss a more difficult topic, child sexual abuse. Last month, an elementary teacher in Brewster was arrested for allegedly sexually abusing students. The statistics on child sexual abuse show that 90% of offenders are someone the child knows and trusts. Children's Cove provides services on the Cape and Islands for child victims of sex abuse. Jacob Stapleton is community educator and outreach coordinator at Children's Cove. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being here. So what are the latest statistics on child sexual abuse, and have we seen changes over the last decade?
So the statistics that we work with at a national level is that 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused before they're 18 years old. And as you mentioned, 90% of the time, the offender is somebody that a child knows and trusts. And if it's not a family member, and oftentimes it is, it's somebody that the family also knows and trusts. And this can be the real challenging part of being able to address this issue.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure there are probably a lot of parents out there going, whoa, 90% of the offenders are someone the child knows, loves, and trusts. So this makes it difficult for the children to report abuse. Do you think the numbers might actually be higher?
We believe that they are. One of the statistics that we do know is that only 1 in 10 children actually report. This is from studies that have been done all across the country for many years, anonymous surveys with adults who are survivors, with children who were survivors, and then the children that we know, they come to us after abuse has been taking place for a long time, and they only just after a rare incident or something that came forward that they were able to disclose. So we believe that the numbers are higher.
Mm. And what are the reasons that they say why they didn't come forward?
A lot of the times, it's especially for younger children, they may not necessarily know that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. It could also be that a child's been threatened, or family members or a beloved pet has been threatened, and or being told that if you say something, we're not going to be able to be together again anymore, or you won't be able to see someone. And that's really scary for children.
Yeah. I'm going to give our number for, we only have it for the first segment. So if folks have questions, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. After the arrest of the Brewster Elementary School teacher, many parents are asking if their children are safe at school. What are some of the important protocols that schools should have in place to keep children safe?
I think it varies for each school district, but definitely is training and recognizing signs and symptoms for children and providing training to teachers on how to recognize those signs. All teachers are mandated reporters, and if they believe that something's going on, they have reasonable suspicion in their official capacity that they should be making a report. So every school has a different policy on that and is pretty consistent. And I know the majority of the time, schools are doing everything that they can to provide that training, providing those avenues for teachers to come forward if they're suspecting something, and avenues that if a child makes a disclosure, for them to be able to get help and support.
I know since that you've been at several of the community forums, and what are parents expressing to you?
One of the biggest fears that parents have is, what if I miss something? Some of the behavioral signs and some of the symptoms of abuse for children, some of them may be very small. Mm-hmm. Or maybe almost non-existent for you to be able to see. But this is where we're trying to talk with folks, that being able to have conversations with children early, often, and regularly about body safety, about what to do if something happens where they don't feel comfortable. These are conversations that parents can have with children at a very young age to create this element of trust about these difficult types of conversations. Mm-hmm. And when you have that level of trust, it makes that opportunity that if something's happening, for you to know sooner.
Right. You just said something that body safety. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that's a great way to explain it, because little children, they don't know what sex is. I mean,
no, they don't.
That's not even on their radar screen. So body safety is the way you would talk to them then. And in what age are we talking about?
Body safety is something that when we talk about that, you're right, it's not about sex. It's not about the birds and the bees. It's about, did you know that the parts under your bathing suit are private and nobody should be looking at those or asking to touch them? And nobody should be asking you to touch them or look at theirs. That's a conversation you can have with a child very young, 4, 5, 6 mm-hmm. years old. Starting these conversations early and having them be something that's not a sit down, we have to have this very serious conversation. Making it a regular part of a conversation in the car, on the way to the car, in the grocery store, wherever that may be, that's going to be able to continue to have these conversations, to make these types of discussions regular and not scary for either the parent or for the child.
Mm. All right. So what are some of the signs that a child might be suffering from abuse?
So if there's a either sudden onset or a gradual onset and a significant change in behavior, you know, with a child that could be regularly outgoing, but now they're starting to seem a little bit more withdrawn, spending more time by themselves, developing a fear of going to certain places or being around certain people. There could be patterns to that fear, maybe not wanting to go to a particular place only on particular days. There may be some regression in behavior, maybe going back to a time where they were a little bit younger, wanting to spend more time with you and being right around you, or thumb-sucking, bedwetting, anything where there's a change in behavior that's kind of outside the norm of where they've been for a while. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we really like to tell parents is you know your children. You know them better than anybody. You're the expert of your children. And if you're seeing a change in behavior from them, then that could be a red flag for you to try to get a little bit more help and information.
866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. So what should you do if you suspect something might be happening with your child? What do you do?
Well, the very first thing that if you're suspecting something has happened is remaining calm. One of the biggest challenges for parents, and I'm a parent, is if you feel that something had happened and you're concerned about that, everybody's emotions can get a little high. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But remaining calm and, you know, having those conversations with kids about body safety, but reaching out for help. If you believe that something has happened, ask for help. So you can contact your local police department. You can contact the Department of Children and Families. They have a hotline where you can reach out to them and tell them about what your concerns are. And if you're not sure that you can contact those places, you can always call Children's Cove. We're there regularly, you know, Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 4:30. And you can reach out to us and tell us what your concerns are. And we can discuss that with you and kind of give you some guidance in that way.
What does the research tell us about the possible long-term effects of child sexual abuse?
The long-term effects of child sexual abuse, and specifically without receiving care and treatment for child sexual abuse, it can be pretty alarming. Children who have had adverse childhood experiences that have gone untreated, they're 26 times more likely to develop a challenge with substance abuse or alcohol use. They have indicators for health effects such as diabetes, cancer, heart disease, early death, challenges with relationships, challenges with work, challenges with school, mm-hmm. and mental health diagnoses. So, you know, when we're talking about a child who's experienced a trauma and they aren't getting the support that they need, this can lead to a really long lifetime challenge or struggles, but it doesn't have to be.
Mm, yeah. So, and you pretty much can you anywhere along the line, like let's say somebody's had some abuse in their childhood and mm-hmm. maybe they're in their 20s now or a little mm-hmm. bit. Can they still get help and resolve some of those issues?
So, you know, at Children's Cove, what we do is we see children aged 2 to 17 who have been victims of child sexual abuse, severe physical abuse, witness to domestic violence or trafficking. And so for them, we have a streamlined process to provide them supports and services that's trauma-informed and child-friendly to get them connected to supports to lead to the healthiest outcome. When somebody is in an adult, when a young adult, there is, of course, still ways for them to be able to get help and supports. There's a lot of agencies and mental health organizations, community support, domestic violence shelters on the Cape and Islands that can provide that type of support mm-hmm. and mitigate that. It doesn't have to be that, you know, something that has happened to me is going to determine mm-hmm. what's going to happen for me in my life. Getting that early intervention, getting that support can help turn challenges around.
You mentioned Children's Cove and some of the services that you provide, but you also, you're out in the community as well. You're talking to mm-hmm. schools and camps, and I mean, you do a lot of outreach, correct?
Absolutely. That's my primary role is as the community education outreach coordinator, is to go to the community to talk about Children's Cove, who we are, what we do, why we do what we do, but also to provide training for mandated reporters and those who work with children. So we are in the schools. We work with a lot of mental health organizations, community support centers, recreational programs for youth, summer camps, to provide them training in a variety of ways. You know, about how to recognize those signs, mandated reporting, how to get help and create supportive environments for children who have experienced trauma, and really anything else that agency may be needing.
Yeah. All right. So we talked about some of the ways to talk to young children, you know, body safety. Then kids, you know, as they get to be teenagers, they know a little bit more. So how does your approach change as I'm thinking specifically young girls, you know, with that pressure and they get to the dating age. And what's your conversations with the kids like at that point as a parent?
So So this is where, when you start having these conversations with young children, it makes those conversations when they get a little bit older easier. Now, granted, a lot of young adults and teenagers, they don't want to have these types of conversations with their parents.
It's
very challenging. but creating that atmosphere of trust and that these types of things aren't taboo is really important. And that's how you start that conversation early. You know, I think it's important to have these conversations with boys and girls. Mm-hmm. You know, girls are about, how do you self-advocate? How do you have your own body autonomy, letting people know what they can and what they can't do, being able to speak up, and teaching boys that it's not okay to violate the boundaries of young women.
Respect.
And vice versa, respect. But definitely that online piece is something that's so critical. The more conversations that we've had with teenagers is about the challenges of the online world, which is really where young adults and teenagers are living now.
Yeah.
Instagram, Snapchat, not so much Facebook anymore,
right.
But in these places, and that there's a lot of pressure for them to do things online that they may not necessarily be comfortable with.
Yeah, we also hear all these stories of some, you know, child who meets somebody online who thinks it's another 13-year-old and turns out not to be. It's so that whole online safety piece is huge. And as for many of us who didn't grow up in that online world, that's a real challenge for some parents to be able to not only monitor, but talk to your kids about that.
Absolutely. If you're still thinking that the biggest platform for children and teens is Facebook, you are behind the times. Getting involved, educating yourself is going to be something that's very important. You know, creating an atmosphere of trust around those conversations, but also limiting the avenues in which online can be abused. If you have a home computer, which everybody uses, keep it in the living room, keep it in a common area. If your children have mobiles and cell phones, iPads, whatever they may be, maybe setting up a rule in your home that there's a place in a common area that those phones stay at night. So when it's time for everybody to go to bed, that those are staying out in a common area there. But knowing what their usernames are, knowing what their passwords are, and also teaching them that what they do online now can have long-term effects. This information, these pictures that they're putting out there, they don't go away. They don't disappear. And when kids are thinking about college or thinking about joining the workforce, this stuff is looked at by college recruiters and employers.
Okay, employers for sure. Exactly. All right, we're going to have links with more information about the services offered through Children's Cove at our website, capeandislands.org. Jacob Stapleton is the Community Education Outreach Coordinator at Children's Cove. Thanks so much for coming in and being a resource for us.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that. Coming up after break, how drugs and alcohol impact developing brains and ways to talk with teens about the importance of staying substance-free.